Grace Jones.
Oh.
She found her rhythm in the mid-80s. And Game of Thrones is finding its rhythm in season 4. Deviating from the books in such a way that you can't imagine what's going to happen next, even if you read the damn books.
Well, that's a perfect opening, Richard, and here we are. Podcasterly Rock, as I'm calling this thing.
I can't even say that.
What is it?
I can't even say that.
It's fine. We're on episode 4, is it? 4?
Yes, it is. Episode 4.
Oathkeeper is the name.
A New Hope. Yes.
And it could refer to a lot of things, but I suppose primarily the easiest thing would be the sword that Brienne gets from Jaime. But I can't go down the list. I think Dany keeping her promise to the slaves, and Jon keeping his promise to the Night's Watch, and et cetera, throughout these characters and their oaths
yes.
they keep, and their supposed honor. Although I think that's very relative, especially with this show.
Right. Well, I like the fact that in the book, Jamie's the one that names the sword, and then in the show, Brienne names the sword. And it actually works better that way because it kind of illustrates the relationship between Jamie and Brienne to that point. Whereas in the book, it's because I reread that chapter the other day, and in the book, it's very much like Jamie's saying, I know I'm an asshole, but you need to go do this thing so I can feel better about myself, so just go. And in this one, it's more he's putting her on a mission for Catelyn Stark. And in the book, it's more about for himself. He sounds more selfish in the book than on the show.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think it's better that she names it because she seems like such a blunt character. And she has this kind of a one-track mind of honor that I think she'd be more likely to come up with that name. And it seems very her as opposed to Jaime. Like, that name, if anyone's going to pick that name, it's going to be Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, it's way more poignant that way.
It feels more in character, I think, like you said, to have it that way.
But we got to talk about that. When he goes, I have three things for you, and now the last thing I have for you. And then it's a cutaway to Broderick, and he's just smiling at her.
It's probably the best shot of the whole
shot,
episode.
Yeah,
it was
pretty
funny.
It was pretty good.
But we open this episode with Grey Worm getting a English lesson, although I think, what do they call it, the common tongue?
The common tongue, which is odd to see written on the walls of Marin. It kind of took me out of the episode a bit.
Where, I felt the same way. I was expecting
masters,
some high
Valyrian.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Cut you off there.
I agree.
I was expecting some high Valyrian. It's like, I don't need to know what it says. I think his fear from reading that is enough to sort of convey what's going on.
Well, right, because anything written in ready. Blood like ink is always kind of, a bad sign.
But I did like that. I think, just going back a little bit, I think that the English lesson was cool because they both kind of opened up a little bit about their past, but Grey Worm especially was very denying of such histories. I think he doesn't want to even remember that at all.
Right.
Part of his life. What do you think is poignant to that character?
Well, you see, it works, but I don't know if they're going to go any further to that. I wonder if they're going to become an idol in the show.
I would hope not. I like more of the unrequited love. I mean, especially since this guy has no balls.
That don't mean nothing.
Because you can still get it up, but still, I just kind of
you can still get it on with no balls.
I do it every night, so it's fine with me.
Yeah.
No balls, Scully, with the Conley down here.
Oh, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the palace. You don't need balls at the palace.
Nope, we forego balls. It's pretty helpful.
It says a golden plaque.
No balls required. Yeah. And
that was put up by Casey.
and I think it gets pretty inventive, too, because I don't think this is in the book, right, without the Grey Worm... going undercover, so to speak, in Marine?
I don't remember. I feel like he did. I think that's what ultimately happened in the books. I think that's how she got the.
I don't know. There's so many scenes with them like going undercover. Like these people need to do a better job of protecting these like small gates.
They never think about that.
Because I was surprised how easy it was for them to get in. Like, they didn't kill anybody. They were just like, oh, it's a heavy gate. We got to open it.
Well, they had to carry all those heavy swords, so that's a lot of work.
I guess.
Come on now.
And Grey Worm took a beat from Daenerys to give a speech. Or a note from her book or whatever.
Right. He took the crib notes.
Yeah. He had the... The Cliff Notes?
Cliff Notes.
And that's either way. But yeah, he just... that was kind of funny. Because it felt like almost as though he had memorized the speech that she'd given him, and then he was sort of reiterating it.
Yes.
To these people. And again, it's just like... Dany has no interest in wasting her own men. She'd rather have these poor people do all the work for her and then take the victory.
Oh, sure.
So very white of her.
She knows what to do.
Yeah.
She ain't no dummy.
Not at all. I did like the flag. I thought that was a great bit, actually.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was very fascist of her.
And I like... Because I was trying to figure out what that was when the slaver was looking at it. And then I almost forgot about it until she kind of walked out underneath it.
So wait, was she already up? I mean...
That's what I was wondering. Was like she flag up?
Is that what they did first? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that didn't make a lot of sense.
Interesting.
And I'm kind of wondering, what Unsullied knew how to sew together a Targaryen crest?
Hey, they're good. They're real good.
I imagine they must be. Or one of the slaves must have had a lot of cloth laying around.
Misha! That's not...
She's like, that's a little too small, all right? I'm looking for, like 20 feet
bigger.
By 24 feet, all right? That's huge. And I also liked... Because later we get Sir Barristan?
Yes, Elmy. Yeah, right.
Who tries to give her some advice, which she should heed, Richard. Yeah. She should have heeded that. That would have been better. Because she'll rue that day.
She had to do it because that shows her balls.
We're
talking about lack of balls. She's got to show her balls. Her Unsullied don't have any balls, but she's got all the balls.
That's pretty heartless, though. I did like it.
No, it was great. Yeah, I like to see bad guys get crucified. That's the way to go. They should bring that back.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, no. That'd be some real purple punishment there. Yeah.
Put it on Fox after TMZ. They can crucify the Clippers guy.
But David Sterling?
By the way, everybody already knew this. This isn't news. He's always been a bigot, but I don't because they're winning, he's going to be a problem now? Is that what happens? If you're a bigot and you own a basketball team, just don't win and you'll be left alone?
Well, also, I hate to get on a big sidetrack here, but I don't get how it's a punishment making him sell the team. It's like, he bought it for like $15 million and now it's worth like $700 million.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Boy, we're going to really get you this time, buddy.
He'll just buy more slums and not allow blacks and Mexicans to live there. That's what he'll do with that money.
It's like, oh boy, NBA, you really know how to get to that guy.
Well, this ties into Game of Thrones because it's a very Daenerys Targaryen thing to do.
It is, Richard, it is. But no, on the show here, we don't condone racism, that's for sure. None of that going on here.
We condemn eunuchs. Because you can't trust them.
No.
And they're
no.
really, really crazy when it comes to fighting.
And they are able to quickly learn how to give a great speech.
Yes.
And be really convincing really fast. I mean, he didn't have to do a whole lot.
Daenerys gave him the Braveheart Blu-ray, and he watched that scene over and over again. He's just like, yes, I can do this. Misha will take care of you.
You think they'd be like, all right, so if we attack these people, what are you going to do for us?
Well, I tell you what, though, they really spent money on that. The CGI is getting better every episode, and also there's a lot more subtitles in this episode than previous ones. Like the first, kind of the first 15 minutes is pretty much a foreign film.
A lot of it is. I did like them sneaking around. I thought kind of a different angle, but I did appreciate a lot of the lighting. I thought that actually looked pretty cool with them in the evening light. They're kind of sneaking around. It looked pretty spot on. And this episode for me also reminded me how amazing Littlefinger can be.
Yeah, that was a good scene with him and Sansa, where he's just basically telling her, yeah, I killed Joffrey with my new friends who wanted him dead too, so why not?
And I like Sansa's growth in this episode. I thought she is starting to show a little backbone, kind of questioning him and having a little bit more wits about her as she spends more time with him.
Yeah, well, she's starting to get, I think, sick of everybody not having any faith. They're cheering like an idiot. I think she's kind of getting pissed off at it. So she's going to have her due. She's going to pay. She's going to pay the piper.
Yeah, I think already that the show is, I think, giving her a little more room to, I think, kind of play on that same level as other characters. Whereas I think that the book still kind of relegated her to only being able to stand up against that little kid. Even towards the end.
Yeah.
So I like that. I always liked Sansa, but she's just such a POV character where in the books it just feels like she's only there so you can see what's going on in court and what's happening in King's Landing. And she doesn't get a lot to do herself, but I keep rooting for her to get more action because she needs something to do.
Yeah. And I love what they're doing with the Bran storyline because in the books, he really doesn't do anything.
No, and that becomes more apparent the further you read. I mean, you think no legs, he might still do something, but no legs mean he ain't doing shit.
Well, Lieutenant Dan did way more than he did with no legs.
He found Jesus, so yeah, you bet he did a lot more.
And then legs.
And what?
And then he got metal legs.
Oh, right, yeah, he did.
Got legs, Lieutenant Dan. You got legs, Bran Stark.
Bran Rickon, yeah, I'm close.
Bran Rickon Stark, that's his middle name. Everyone knows that.
I see.
Come on now. That's the rule in Westeros. You're supposed to take your brother's name as your middle name.
But Craster's Keep. A significant deviation from the book. And not quite as significant as what happens later, but incredibly significant deviation.
Well, I'm just hoping that this is how they're going to introduce Cold Hands. I think Cold Hands is going to come and save Bran and the two lame-o kids that don't do anything with the big fat dummy retard, and they're going to go to that wacky tree in the north.
Well, before we get too into Craster's Keep, it's worth mentioning what's going on at the Wall.
No. No, I'm kidding. You can go.
But I'm just trying to think. Oh, yeah, because it was a thing where first Locke shows up, and he must have freaking ran to the Wall from the Dreadfort.
He took a plane. He had a little Cessna, and he flew it over there.
Because he's there in no time. I always wonder about the geography of Westeros, but this makes me scratch my head a little bit. Because, I mean, I don't know how much time has passed, but I can't imagine it's very much.
Yeah.
He just shows up. He's just like... And he's pretty clever in the way that he's able to lure Jon into his favor with that little backstory he gives.
Yeah.
Very sympathetic, which I liked. But I think Noah Taylor, like you said, is a great actor. And the longer he's on this show, I think the more he just stands out.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. I'm kind of glad he's become sort of the new character in the cast. I mean, he's good. I like him a lot. I like him as an actor.
Yeah, they're definitely working to sort of fill the void with Joffrey gone. He's still pretty evil. You got this guy back at the keep who's horrifically just, I mean, wow. He could be Joffrey incarnate, or what Joffrey would have been if he hadn't been king.
Yeah.
And you still have that bastard.
So yeah.
They're definitely pushing hard to make sure you don't forget how evil people can be in Westeros.
Yeah. And I did like the... I like the Tyrion Jaime bit where they were talking in the cell.
Yeah.
That was a nice little banter moment between two brothers, and I just feel like I hope there's more of those scenes, because we're gonna lose it at the end of the season, because what happens? I mean, Tyrion's gonna be gone and Jaime's gonna be doing his own thing, so they're gonna be separated by, you know, thousands of miles basically. So I hope we get like a good last hurrah of sequences and scenes with the two of them, because I think they have a nice little camaraderie going on right there. They have good chemistry.
They do. They do. And I also like that there was sort of a sense with the scene before with Bronn, that at this point Bronn almost knows Tyrion a little better than
right,
Jaime
yeah.
does. Like, Jaime's just so... he's been gone so long that Bronn almost has a better connection with Tyrion at this point.
Yeah, it's an interesting relationship.
And it's almost like Jaime is now trying to, like, make up for that, trying to regain that friendship that he realizes he's kind of lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we have the scene... I think, I don't know if it was before or where it is in the sequence here, but there is that scene with Jaime and Cersei.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, because it really makes no effort to address the rape that had happened in the previous episode.
Yeah, no rape brought up this week, and we need to talk about that. We need to talk about rape again, because you made a good point. There's tons of subliminal rape going on in the background at Craster's Keep, but well, you know, the internet has no problems with that.
Yeah, and he even says, he gives the order that they're to fuck them to death. That's how they're going to get rid of these women, is to fuck them to death. But I'm not seeing any articles this week. Nothing going on now. No one's concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, these women, at least from what I can tell, appear to be pretty brutalized. I mean, Craster seems like Mickey Mouse compared to...
Well, that's what happens when you have like a bunch of, you know, murderers and rapists having a free-for-all at an all-you-can-eat buffet of titty.
That was, you know, I'm not for any of that, but I did like that the show makes an effort from here and there to remind us that the Night's Watch is made up of rapists and murderers and thieves and generally not good people. So
yeah.
You know, they're not all Jon Snow, and I think it's important for the show to not shy away from that.
Yeah,
because sometimes it can feel like it gets a little distracted by how chivalrous Jon Snow can be, and how what's his friend's name, the fat one? I forget.
Samwell Tarly.
Yeah, just how afraid Samwell can be. It's just like, that's not everything that's in the Night's Watch. There's a lot more personalities there.
Well, yeah, I'm glad they brought in. They're building up that whole the story for Sir Alistair Thorne and the other guy, the guy that was the Queen's Guard or the Gold Cloaks dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're setting that up, because that all happens next season. What's going to happen there is going to be kind of interesting to watch. And I already hate that guy, so I can't wait to see Jon Snow cut off his head.
Now, do you think they'll have the vote at, like, say, episode 10?
I don't know. I feel like there's going to be so much going on with the aftermath of episode 9 because it's going to be the big battle, I guess. But I think episode 10 is going to be mainly Tyrion running away, and that all that's going to happen that episode, I think.
Okay.
I feel like that's what's going to be the focus.
As like one of those like victory celebrations, then they're like going to vote for somebody, and then they all vote for him.
Maybe, and that would like set up. Yeah, that would make sense. But that all happens in book 5, though, doesn't it? Because they have like a whole voting system and talks about the election.
Yeah, but I think stuff like that is
you
stuff
don't need
the show doesn't need.
No, it's of just, course not.
They get so bogged down with that crap, it'd be like half an episode trying to explain how it all worked.
I mean, shit, they're getting a lot done already, and it's just episode 4.
I think it's pretty ridiculous. I think if you wanted to have Samwell sort of influence the election, he could be the one that first starts chanting his name.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I think you don't need him trying to like trick the books or buy votes or whatever he did. Just like let it go. I don't care. Yeah. And I think it's Lady Olenna's last episode.
Yes. Diana Rigg is gonna go and retire to the Grey Havens.
Well, as she should. Gosh, she's so old. But I'll be sad to see her go. I think she was a real ray of biting wit and a great actress, too, to boot. So.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, she's just... There's nothing else for her to do. Her storyline's pretty much done. And I don't think she comes back into the books, either. She's pretty much gone for good now.
That's too bad. I mean, we can spend half a season torturing that, Greyjoy guy, but...
Yes, yes.
You know, but we can't get any more Lady Olenna for no reason in this show.
Well, now I'm wondering if they're even going to go back to Greyjoy. If they're going to go... Because Locke's at the Wall, so that storyline with the Boltons is sort of with him. So, I mean, it's Locke's deal. Bolton, they're gone. I mean, I don't know where else... That storyline is kind of, I think... done for the season. I don't know what else they could do, really.
Well, it's weird because they set up his sister coming for him in the last episode of season 3.
Yes.
But then so far we're at episode 5 coming up and there's been no payoff for that at all.
No.
She hasn't even supposedly landed. I mean, who knows, but I mean, we haven't seen it.
So in the book she doesn't go back for Theon, but she is at some port town, or she's at some stronghold.
She's at a castle.
I think she's at like Deep Mott or whatever.
She is, yeah.
Right. So I wonder if that's what they're going to say. Like she landed and she was going to go. Her initial intention was to go and get Theon, but then she gets sort of sidetracked with taking over this castle. Maybe she's living in. Well, next time we see her, she'll be in this castle living in there, and then she'll decide to go find her brother finally. Maybe that's what they're going to do.
I don't know. But I think it's a strong possibility.
Yeah.
But she ran away in the books because they had the vote after her father died.
Yeah, and right. And there's like 4 brothers vying for the crown.
Yeah, and also she got like married off to some chump, so she didn't like that either when she took off.
Right, she just takes... But I think they're going to forego all of that because that's just too much.
I don't see
that happening coming into the show at all.
Gosh, there's like so many chapters of just like, they walked along the beach, and I'm going to tell you all the names of all the people that were here.
The Drowned God's Man.
I was like, oh my gosh, just stop.
Nobody cares. That was all book 4, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was endless. That was painful.
That was a lot of the Iron Islands was a big focus in book 4, and you're just like, okay, I don't care anymore.
Between that and the Sun Spear or whatever that dump was, and then
Marjorie and the Knight. Yeah, right.
I don't know
that stuff
that was just like.
Well, I don't think they're even going to touch on that. There's no point. There really is no point because it doesn't go anywhere.
I think that girl getting pseudo kidnapped is important in getting those girls locked up, but that's like half an episode, so...
Yeah, I mean...
There's not a lot there.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's not part of this episode, so I won't get too into that, but...
No.
But
I mean, we haven't even seen the Dornish Prince Oberyn since episode 2.
Thank God.
I like him, though. I think he's... Yeah, we saw him in episode 3 because he was in that orgy scene.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking the guy with the glitter. I was like, I don't think we've seen
him. No, we haven't seen him at all. He's basically the king of Dorne, right?
Yeah.
He's the prince, but he's the leader of Dorne.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't seen him. But no, I did kind of miss that guy this episode. You're right. Yeah, the Viper.
I think, yeah, he brings a lot. I like the actor playing that character. He's good.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because he was not who I pictured reading the books. But I think he brings the character to life in a way that's very representative of that feeling you get reading about him. Like, he has that personality.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't quite have the look that I think I wanted. So.
Well, he looks like a Spanish Liam Neeson.
He does. Maybe he's, maybe the, Taken 3 is, like, boys from Brazil, so he's going to get rid of his clones.
Oh, that would be, you know what? That would be the greatest movie of all time.
That's like one of his clones.
That'd be pretty good. I'd watch that movie. I'd watch that movie all night long.
And we didn't see any Arya or the Hound.
No.
And it looks like I'm right that she will stab him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think she's not going to hurt him. He's going to have something that blocks the needle from going into his body.
Yeah, I'm sure his armor was pretty well on. So
yeah, I think he's not going to die.
Well, I don't see him dying. I just thought he'd get like mortally wounded, and then it's like the show.
Yeah, progressing. I don't see him getting wounded. I think they're going to have an altercation, and then she's going to be like, "You're not even worth killing," and that's what's going to happen. Maybe
we'll see.
Because that happens in the books. I just reread that chapter where, like, he's dying, and he basically says, you know, crush my head in with a rock, finish me off. And she's just like, no, I'm going to let you suffer. And she just walks away and gets on a boat to Braavos or wherever.
Yeah, some dump.
Yeah.
And who else didn't we see this episode? The Boltons we didn't see.
No Boltons, no Theon.
No.
No,
I mean, we saw King's Landing, so that's kind of...
King's Landing, yeah.
That's pretty much everybody there.
No, I mean, no Tywin.
No.
No good scene with Tywin, which I always want to see more of Charles Dance, because, you know, he's not going to be around much longer. We need to have a good amount of time with him.
No, I did think he deserved a scene with Lady Olenna before she left.
Yeah, that would have been good.
So it's a little sad to see that.
Right.
Just because someone's got to arrange that marriage between Marjorie and Tommen.
Tommen.
Yeah. And I thought that would have been her. So, I don't know. It seems like a missed opportunity, but what do I know? It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's what it is, so I'm excited. I'm just curious to see where this Shay storyline goes. Because I could go either way. I don't know if... It makes sense that she would go to be killed by the Hand, maybe initially, and then she just, like, woos Tywin, or it was all just a facade at the end of the day. It's all just a lie, but I don't know.
She'll be back. She'll be back.
She's going to be back, but I don't know if it's going to be Tywin kills her or Tyrion kills her. Like, what route are they going to take? Because they're going to make Tyrion be the one that chokes her to death, or will he just have, like, maybe Tywin has her hanging in his room, and that's where he finds her dead, or I don't know.
So he's like a secret sadist, like Joffrey, sort of?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's going to be like the book. It was all a scam. It was all just a ruse. But I don't buy that, because... The book and the show are way different. The relationship between Shay and Tyrion. It's very odd.
They are, and they never... I think in the first season, it's briefly touched on, but they don't get too in-depth with Tyrion's first marriage.
Now, they talked about it in season one.
That's what I mean, yeah, but they don't...
Yeah. But in the books, well, that's the difference between a book and a show. The books, you have a constant reminder because he tells that story like two or three times.
Well, but they don't finish the story in the... Well, no, I guess they do.
They do.
But yeah, but we never really find out...
Until book three.
About it, yeah.
Because Jamie tells him in book three what happened.
Well, that's what I'm curious if they're going to touch upon. If at the end...
Yeah.
If he'll confess or if it'll be, forgotten, I guess. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Because that's sort of the impetus that drives Tyrion to actually to lie to him and say that he did kill Joffrey. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I know it was like that angle on Tyrion, too, with that wedding or that marriage, because I thought that was kind of sad, and it's just not really there in the show.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
And you gotta have that line that Tywin says, you know, where do whores go? Wherever whores go.
I love that bit. Yeah, it's gotta be in there. I won't be surprised if it's not, but yeah, I'd love to see it there.
Yeah, it'd be very... It'd be interesting to see. It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. And I think he delivered very well, I think, that line.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Dance.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
It should be good.
And I can't remember, what else did they tease in the next episode?
Just that. Just Arya and the Hound, and that's about all I could...
some Dany thing with, like, her checking her lists of who she's got available.
Yeah, well, you know, I never go by the teaser for next week's episodes because they're always off and they're never what you think they're going to be. They really just... It doesn't ever happen the way you think it's going to happen. They sort of trick you with their editing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was going to kind of try and think about what might or might not happen.
Yeah.
I feel like we won't see any trial this week, though.
No.
Or next week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another two episodes, and then episode 8 will probably be the... I want to say episode 9 is going to be the tournament, or the
No, I think...
The fight between the Sand Snakes, or the Viper, and the Mountain.
Of episode 7, I think, is that.
Oh, is it really?
I think, yeah.
That's pretty...
Episode 9, I think, is going to be that just basically the battle on the wall.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. That's a lot going on there. And even the battle on the wall shouldn't take an hour.
No, but I just remember that title is earlier in the show.
What was it? It's called, like, the Mountain and the Snake or something?
Like, the Viper and the Mountain, I think.
The Viper and the Mountain, yeah. Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Which, I admit, though, that is pretty quick. I mean, I don't know how you can keep Tyrion alive for, you know, an episode or two without getting rid of him.
Well, you figure episode 9 he won't be in, so that's one episode right there he's not going to be a part of. But episode 10 is going to be heavily Tyrion. Yeah, it's going to be like... I think he's going to be a good chunk of the episode, maybe 20 minutes of it. I mean, there's a lot going on there. The aftermath of that fight, there's a lot going on.
It's true, yeah.
And you have episode 8 and then episode 10 to go off of. That's kind of ridiculous.
I just feel like the way the show has it, Cersei is so frothing at the mouth that how anyone would keep Tyrion alive after he loses that battle.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I guess for me, hard to believe just because she is just so ready for blood. But we'll see. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Episode 8 is the Mountain of the Viper. That makes more sense.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense because episode, let's see, 8 and episode 9 will be the wall, and episode 10 will be the aftermath of episode 8, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That works.
Next is first of his name, so we'll see him get crowned. Then the laws of gods and men, probably the trial. Mockingbirds, I don't know. I mean, obviously that's Littlefinger, but I don't know what that'll be about. Then the fight, then the battle on the wall. Then it's called The Children, which I'm going to guess refers to the Children of the Forest.
Has to.
And we'll see that come up, so.
And then I hope episode 10 ends with the Catelyn Stark reveal. The Lady Stoneheart.
If it doesn't, I'd be shocked.
I'll be really disappointed. I mean, so far, it's a good season, but just it has to end on that note because that's such a great cliffhanger.
Well, these guys
like,
love
holy
shockers, too.
Shit, yeah.
So I don't see how they wouldn't use that. I mean, the way that they use shockers so far, I think that one is just so on a silver platter.
It's ripe for the picking.
Yeah, to ignore that would just... I don't know. So pointless. And I think... To save it for Brienne just seems, I don't know. I think you need the ominous of her, or like the forebodingness of her being out there in the world.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like some sudden appearance. Because also, you need to see her kill someone first to know that she's
right.
A little more serious.
She's totally, anything remotely human about her is gone now.
So I don't know. I think you need her to appear now. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Because I like the tease. The thing, the tease is like one of the best parts.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think I'm ready for the bar, Richard. I don't know what we do. How about you?
Oh well, don't you want to talk about the end of the show?
Oh
the
right. Well,
biggest part
thank
of
you.
The show. The
thank
biggest.
You,
yeah. The biggest like what the fuck moment of the series. I would say of the series, we finally get to see the King of the White Walkers, who's it's a pretty big moment for this whole saga of A Song of Ice and Fire.
Well, I don't know, Richard. I think he's probably more like the Starscream of the White Walkers.
No,
he's not Megatron.
That was Megatron. You saw him. Briefly, with like the horns, or was it a crown he was wearing? Maybe
yeah,
that
like
was
horns,
a crown.
Like a crown, but like driven into his skull, kind of thing. So,
well, because he's so old and frozen, maybe the crown just sort of fused with his head and just became ice.
Right. Yeah.
But it was cool. It was a neat little reveal.
Well, to give some context, though, so the scene is that at the keep, there's one more of Krastard's kids. The babies, the males, yeah. And so one of the rapists, who no one complains about, I guess, in the internet, takes this baby and drops him off in the snow, and then a White Walker picks him up. I guess sort of like the hero White Walker that we've seen quite a bit, the one on the horse.
Yeah.
Takes him on this long journey further north than we've ever been. Much further north to sort of this big mountain face with this frozen waterfall and this sort of icy Stonehenge kind of thing. And they show
I would say it resembles Richard Donner's Fortress of Solitude from Superman. Ice crystals galore.
A lot of those going around. Yeah, yeah, and it's a great scene. It's very... Very much from the baby's POV, which I thought was pretty cool. And so it adds a lot of tension to it, using that as a focal point. Because you really see the scene through his fear. And I think it gives a little more weight. But then this, like, the White Walker, yeah, he picks it up and then touches it. And it becomes a White Walker himself, the baby.
Apparently. And I guess, what, do they age? Like, they're newborn White Walkers? Do they put them in, like, little playpens?
Well, that's the thing. I think this scene definitely posed more questions than it gave answers to. By far. Just because, I mean, yeah, it's like, how do they age? Do they take care of them? Is this the only way they make White Walkers? If so, it seems like a pretty slow process, waiting for Craster to get some people pregnant.
Well, you figure he bought 20, 30 years, so he probably gave up a good 150 boys to the White Walkers.
Yeah, maybe. And there's a lot of wildlings, too, I suppose, and et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
That's true,
so.
Too, yeah.
He'd probably go through quite a few over the next 1,000 years to create some weirdos out there.
They've been amassing an army. A clone army.
Right, right. So, yeah, and it's interesting to too because they kind of reiterate the threat of these White Walkers, but, boy, no one seems concerned. I don't know. Nobody. So.
Well, I guess, on that note, let's go to the bar and drink to the memory of the Night Watch King, or whatever his name was.
The Night's King? Yeah.
The Night's King, yeah.
Yeah. Of lore and legend.
Who will be played by Frank Langella.
Well, of course. I mean, he played Skeletor, so that only makes
sense. Of course. Yes. All right. Toodaloo, ass.